welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. Mark Livonier, your host for this hour of Westerns. Later on, it's Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, but first, Tales of the Texas Rangers, with an episode called Open and Shut, heard on NBC's radio network on September 5th, 1950.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. From Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on facts. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Open and Shut.
It is 1:37 a.m., September 9th, 1945. John Meston, a wealthy rancher, is awakened by the sound of a speeding car screeching to a stop on the driveway outside his house. Seconds later, he jumps out of bed and reaches for a robe as the downstairs door opens. His daughter, Connie, comes up the stairs screaming hysterically.
Daddy, help me! Daddy, please!
Connie, baby! What is it? What's the matter?
Oh, Daddy, Bob! He's dead!
Bob, dead? What happened to him? Connie, get hold of yourself. What happened?
Oh, I'm frightened, Daddy. I'm frightened. There was a man with a bandana over his face.
Where, Connie? Where?
The old cattle road east of the ranch. We were parked there. And... oh, it was horrible.
Oh, here, sit down. Sit down while I call the sheriff. You'd better have a doctor. Get something for your nerves.
He tried to hold us up.
Quiet,
Bob. Bob had his gun in the car. They fought over it.
Operator?
Operator, get me Sheriff Sykes. I want to report a murder.
Connie Meston was in no condition to be questioned, and Sheriff Sykes had only an incoherent story to follow. He called the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case. He arrived at the Meston Ranch shortly before dawn.
Might as well wait here in the library, Ranger. The doctor's still in with the girl. She's had a mighty bad shock.
Did she tell you where it happened, Sheriff?
Yeah, the old cattle road east of the ranch. I got some men riding out there now. They'll call us as soon as they find the body.
If that girl isn't going to be able to talk real soon, we better get out with your men.
Oh, here's the girl's father.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Sheriff.
How are you, Mr. Meston?
Glad you got here, Ranger.
Can we talk to your daughter now, Mr. Meston?
I'm afraid not. Doctors put her to sleep. Says she must have absolute rest for a few hours.
There's no point in our waiting then, Sheriff. We can come back later.
I'm sorry, but that'd be best. I'll walk out with you.
What's the best way to get to that cattle road?
Drive into town, then around the highway. Be shorter to cut across the ranch on horses. You got yours in your trailer. Maybe Mr. Meston will lend me one.
Take your pick of the stable, Sheriff.
Couldn't we drive across the range?
No, you've got a ravine to cross and a stream to ford.
What time did your daughter get home, Mr. Meston?
Just a minute before I called the sheriff. A little after 1:30. I'd only been in bed about an hour. Locked up about 12:30 and turned in.
Is this the car she came home in?
Yeah, Bob Brady's car. I heard her drive up, then I heard her crying. Came in and tore up the stairs to my bedroom. I'm afraid it's going to take a long time to get over this.
Don't let anybody touch this car until I can get a fingerprint man to go over it. Killer may have left his mark someplace.
I'll see it ain't touched.
Well, I'll go get me a horse in the stable, Ranger.
How well did your daughter know Brady?
Well, They went around together for a spell, but this date last night was the first they'd had in a long time. Brady worked for me.
Doing what?
Accountant. Handled all the ranch business. Got an office in one wing of the house.
I see. I'll radio for a fingerprint man to come down from our lab while the sheriff's getting his horse.
Want me to ride with you for any reason?
No. Better do whatever you can to bring your daughter around so we can talk to her. We'll be back later. I made my radio call, and then Sheriff Sykes and I cut across the ranch to the old road. The riders had just found Bob Brady's body. Nothing had been touched. The riders waited while the sheriff and I went over the ground. Standing right beside the car when he was killed. The car tracks are heaviest here where it was parked.
Yeah.
Brady and the girl have been walking around, though. If prints go over that way and then turn around and come back here to the body. There's a third set of prints mixed in with theirs.
Yeah, it must be the killers.
Yeah. Came up the road here and stopped beside the car and walked on again. Heavy powder burns on Brady's coat. He was shot from close up.
I only saw the girl for a minute. Couldn't make much out of what she was saying, but I think Brady was killed with his own gun.
How come?
Carried an automatic in the glove compartment of his car. He toted quite a bit of the ranch's cash on him sometime.
It's funny the killer didn't use his own gun, unless he didn't have one.
Well, the girl said Brady tried to get his gun from the car. The fellow took the gun away from Brady and killed him. So I guess he couldn't have had a gun of his own.
That doesn't make sense. He was taking a mighty big chance, staging a holdup if he wasn't armed. Although I guess it was robbery, all right. Brady doesn't seem to have a cent on him. No wallet, no wristwatch, nothing.
Yeah, no doubt about the motive. Well, I guess I better have the body moved into town. Deputy can notify Brady's mother.
Yeah. I better order an autopsy report. Isn't going to tell us anything we don't know, though. Keep a couple of your riders here.
Sure thing, but what do you want them to do?
Beat the brush and look for Brady's gun. And while they're looking, we can follow this extra set of tracks and see where they lead. I expected to follow the marks of a man who didn't want to be followed. The usual erratic trail a killer leaves when he's trying to throw off pursuit. But this trail led straight as an arrow.
Whoever he is, he sure didn't cover his tracks very well.
No, unless he's headed for some spot where he knows his trail will be lost. Aye. Wait a minute. Whoa, boy.
Whoa.
Charco.
What is it?
Trouble may start here.
Yeah. Turned off the road into the fields. The
ground's worn that way, though. It's a path that's been used before. Come on. Grass has been trampled from regular use. Anybody live out here you know of?
Nope. Yeah, an old shack about a mile and a half across. Used to be a line house. Owner rented to a Mexican.
We better have a talk with him. We can move a little faster, but keep your eye out for those tracks as we go.
Get up, sir. Get up.
We reached the shack, and the earth around it were the boot prints of a man. They matched the ones we'd been following.
He's in there, all right, Ranger.
Yeah. He may still have that gun with him.
He was up late. Could still be asleep.
Come on. We'll see.
There he is. Still in bed.
Shh. Quiet. Take a look at these boots. Right beside his bunk. Bent nail in the heel of one of them.
Yep. Made the marks we've been following, all right. He's our boy.
All right, you. Wake up.
Who's that?
Come on, get up.
Please, what have I done? Why'd you come here?
What's your name?
Jose Morales, senor.
Where were you last night?
I walked into town.
Anybody see you there?
Si, senor. The man in the package store. I stopped there to buy a bottle of wine. There's the bottle on the table.
What time did you leave town, Morales?
It was almost midnight, I think.
And you walked home, too?
Yes, señor, sí. But Why are you asking me all these questions? I don't know it.
How long does it take you to walk back here?
Hour, maybe more. I don't have a watch, senor.
Are you sure you don't have a watch now?
Si, I never own one.
How about a gun?
I don't have a gun.
How did you come when you came home?
Well, I don't remember, senor. I just walked.
Well, you better remember. You came up the cattle road. We followed your boot tracks. Were you alone all the time?
Si, alone.
You didn't see a car parked on the cattle road?
Si, senor. There is men and girls there. They will remember that they see me there.
What's that? Hold it, Sheriff. Go ahead, Morales. When did they see you?
On the way home, I passed by the car. I think maybe the car is broke down. So I took a look inside, but there's nobody there.
Uh-huh.
And then I walk a little further. I meet a man and girl. I asked them, is something wrong with the car?
Go ahead.
Well, they told me no. So I just come away. Senor, if you can find them, they will remember. They can tell you I was there.
This man's walking himself right into the electric chair, Jace.
Yeah, too easy. You better get dressed, Morales. You're coming with us.
But why, senor? What have I done?
You'll find out later. Just get dressed. Let's comb this shack, Sheriff. See if we can find that gun. We didn't find the gun or anything else that might have been taken from Brady. And the sheriff's riders drew a blank, too. But we had enough to hold Morales at the jail. We locked him up and went back to the Neston Ranch.
Before you speak to my daughter, gentlemen, I want to ask you to kind of take it easy. In here. Connie, it's Sheriff Sykes and the ranger.
Howdy.
Miss Connie.
Hello.
Miss Neston, would you mind telling us just what happened last night?
Well, Bob called me, Bob Brady. He wanted to see me. We hadn't seen each other for some time.
I thought he worked here at the ranch.
Well, he did. I meant we hadn't been out together for a long time.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, he picked me up here, and we drove. Then we parked up the old cattle road.
Lots of young folks parked there on and off, ranger. It's sort of a lover's lane.
We'd been there quite a while talking. See, Bob was going to be married next month to a girl named Mildred Peterson.
She's a school teacher, ranger.
I see. Go ahead, Miss Meston.
Well, he asked me if I wouldn't change my mind and make up with him before he got married and it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
I told him we weren't right for each other. He'd be happier with somebody else. And then, well, all of a sudden a man came up to the cart. It was dark and he had a bandana over his face.
Go on.
He held us up. He made us get out of the car.
You have a gun?
I'm not sure. I was frightened. He had something in his hand. He took Bob's wallet and his watch, and then he told us to stay right where we were.
Didn't he take anything from you?
Well, yes. Yes, he took my purse.
And then what happened?
Well, all of a sudden, Bob made a dash for the car. He got his gun from the glove compartment, but the man was right after him. They fought. The man got the gun away from Bob, and he shot Bob and ran away.
Gentlemen, if you don't mind,
just
I
another
think
second,
that
Mr. Meston. Miss Meston, what were you wearing?
Well, just a plain blue taffeta dress. It's right there on the chair.
And after that, you took Brady's car and drove back here, and your father called the sheriff. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Driving back from there, you had to come through town. Why didn't you stop and get to a phone?
I was frightened. I couldn't think. I wanted to get home.
You should be able to understand that, ranger. After all, the
sure
girl...
Sure, Mr. Meston. Just checking. You said you were in bed and heard your daughter drive up. Is that right?
Yes, like I told you before. I locked up and turned in about 12:30. Connie come home about an hour later.
Came in and right up to your bedroom. Is that right?
Yes. Why?
Just getting the picture. All right, Sheriff. We can go now.
Right. Oh, we can find our own way out, Mr. Meston. Miss Connie can come into town and dictate her statement in a day or so.
Thank
bye,
you, Sheriff.
Folks.
Bye. Well, ranger, this looks like a quick one to me. Case against the Mexican Morales is open and shut.
I don't know, Sheriff. Somebody's lying. Meston said he locked up and went to bed. His daughter came in and went tearing up to his bedroom.
Well, what's wrong with that?
How'd she get into the house if Morales took her purse? Her keys would be in it.
Well, she
Might have had her key in the pocket of her dress.
Might have, except for one thing. That dress has no pocket. I checked on Morales' story as best I could. He had been in town, and he had bought a bottle of wine to take home with him the night of the murder. But when I got back to the jail, the sheriff had evidence piling up against the Mexican.
Your fingerprint crew dropped off copies of prints they found on Brady's car.
Uh-huh.
These prints were found only on the door of the car. Now, compare them with these.
Hmm. Yeah, same man, all right.
Matching set of the prints I rolled off Morales when we brought him in. He must have done it.
Maybe, but I'm not convinced. I'll see you later.
Here, where are you going, Ranger?
To see Brady's mother and the girl he was going to marry.
The only boy I had left. Two brothers were killed in the war. And...
Please, Mother Brady, we've got to help the Rangers.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ranger.
It's all right, ma'am. How long had it been since your son had been out with Connie Meston before last night?
6 months. I thought it was all over. I thought she'd leave him alone when she knew him and Mildred was going to be married.
Did he brood about her much during the time he wasn't seeing her?
No. He knew it was best. She was spoiled. She never really wanted it. Except when she found out she couldn't have him.
Miss Peterson, yes. You and Brady ever quarrel about Connie Meston?
Oh, no. He was over it. He knew what she was.
She's a cruel, heartless little cheat. She made his life miserable.
Have you got any idea why he called her and asked her to see him that night?
Well, Ranger, he didn't call her. She called him.
You're sure of that?
I heard him answer the phone. He didn't want to go, but she must have been insisting, because after a while, he said, all right, he'd meet her just once. For the last time.
Thanks.
Ranger, is it true what we heard? You've got the killer in jail?
I wouldn't count on that. Yet. I went back to the jail and questioned Morales again. He was frightened, but his story never moved an inch from what he told us the first time. Then I saw the sheriff.
I spoke to District Attorney, Jace. He thinks we got enough to take the grand jury for an indictment.
Give me one of the mug shots you took of Morales when you brought him in.
Sure. Here's the picture.
Thanks. I want Connie Meston to look at it and see if she can identify Morales.
Well, she said the man who stuck him up had a bandana over his face.
She said a lot of things, Sheriff. Brady struggled with the man who killed him. Morales carried a bottle of wine from town to his shack. We checked that. If he had a struggle with anyone, how come he didn't drop the bottle and break it?
Yeah, seems like it would have broke, don't it?
You got a bandana here?
Yeah, the one we took from Morales. Why?
No, not that one. I want one with a different color and pattern.
Maybe one in my deputy's locker.
Get it. I want to see how many lies Connie Meston can tell. I won't be satisfied with the case against Morales until we find Brady's gun and the things that were supposed to be stolen. I went back to the Meston ranch the next morning. Connie Meston was taking Brady's death hard. As hard as a rock. She wasn't at the ranch house. She was near the corral, training a jumper to take a fence.
All right, come on, boy, now. Let's go. Come on. Oh, now, back again. Come on. Come on. Come on, I said. Well, I'll teach you to balk. But I want you to jump, you'll jump. Come on.
Take it easy with that horse.
Oh. Well, Ranger, I didn't see you coming.
Glad to see you've recovered from your shock.
Well, I had to find something to occupy my mind. Thought I'd work my horses. I got them entered in the show at El Paso next Sunday.
It'd be nice if the horse lives that long, the way you use that whip.
It happens to be my horse. Now, what do you want, anyway?
A little information. We may have the man who killed Brady.
Oh, yeah, I heard. The Mexican Morales?
News gets around. Here's a picture of him. Is he the man?
Well, he could be. He looks like the one.
What do you recognize? That scar on his chin?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, no. His face was covered.
Yeah. I almost forgot about that. Is this the bandana you saw?
Well, it was dark, but it
was just like that one.
Uh-huh. Well, thanks.
That all you want to know, Ranger?
Yeah, that's all. For now. I saw Connie Meston's father as I was leaving the ranch. He seemed pale and shaky seeing me there. I was certain that Connie Meston was lying all the way. The sheriff dropped a bombshell in my lap when I got back to the jail. He was running for his car when I drove up.
Hey, Sheriff! Sheriff, where are you going?
I'm glad you got here. I was just heading for Morales' place. You want to come along, I reckon.
Why, what's out there?
I think we're going to find the gun and the stuff he stole. Look, here. Just got this in the mail. It was posted last night in the Mexican section.
The note was printed in Spanish on yellow paper. It said, look in cattle tank near Morales' house. That was all.
Reckon Morales trusted a friend who decided to double-cross him?
We better get out there.
Well, there's no doubt about this case now, Ranger. We find that gun and Morales is headed for the electric chair for sure.
Here's something else.
What'd you find?
The watch. Radio wristwatch.
Good.
Well, this is all of it. Come on, let's get out of this water.
Sure.
Nice haul. The gun, the girl's purse, Brady's wallet, and wristwatch, right on Morales' doorstep. That's the end of this case.
No, it isn't.
Oh, now, Jay.
Look at these things, Sheriff. Look at the muzzle of this gun. It's clogged solid with dirt, packed tight.
Well, always some mud in the bottom of a cattle tank.
Yeah, but this isn't mud. It's packed earth, and it's packed so tight it didn't dissolve in the water.
Yeah. Say, that is funny.
Sheriff, this gun was buried someplace after it was fired. Buried and then dug up again and thrown into this cattle tank.
Say, you're right. Traces of dirt packed into the holes of the watch band, too. And in the wallet.
Sure. But look at this purse. The purse wasn't buried, or the same dirt would be jammed in the metal frame. Connie Meston's keys. She had them when she ran home after Brady was shot. She brought the purse with her to plant with the stuff she dug up after she knew Morales was under suspicion.
You mean she killed Brady, buried the evidence before she went home to make it look like robbery?
Yeah, because the real motive was jealousy. You hold Morales another 24 hours. That'll be long enough to get what we need. Then Connie Meston can take his place.
But you've got no proof on her.
I'll send that anonymous note through to the handwriting division at our lab. They can get a sample of Connie Meston's writing from horse show registration blanks at El Paso for comparison.
Yes, but will that help, Ranger? After all, the note is printed, and it's in Spanish.
There'll still be similarity in letter formation. Besides, registration blanks usually ask for printed information on breeding and identification. If Connie Meston wrote that note, lab will know it. It checked. Connie Meston's printing on registration blanks for the horse show matched the printing on the anonymous note. It was almost enough, but I wanted one more thing. A trace of dirt on something she owned. A trace that would match the earth that had been packed in the muzzle of Brady's gun when it was buried. I drove out to the Meston ranch and found Connie in the stables. Mind if I come in?
Oh, you here again? What do you want this time?
I thought you might like to know we found Brady's gun. Anonymous note told us where it was. Cattle tank out at Morales' place.
Hmm. You got a good case, then.
No. Morales didn't put the gun in the tank.
How do you know?
Because the gun and the other things had been buried. They were dug up again and thrown in the tank.
Well, maybe he decided to change the hiding place.
While we were holding him in jail? No, it's not likely. Morales didn't kill Brady.
Well, you know who did?
Not for sure, but we'll find out. Whoever dug those things up must have carried them in something while they were taking them to the cattle tank. Some dirt was jammed in the muzzle of the gun. We find out what it was carried in, clothing maybe, somebody's pocket. We can match the dirt in our lab.
I see. That's very interesting.
I thought you'd think so. Well, I guess I better be getting back to town. I drove away from the ranch and parked behind some trees that gave me a view of the stable. A minute after I left her, Connie Meston came out, riding like the wind. I unloaded charcoal from the trailer and followed her, always keeping cover between us. She didn't seem to be carrying anything to dispose of, but all of a sudden she came to a stop by a stream. She took the saddlebags and started to shake them out over the water.
Oh, oh boy. Oh, boy. All right, Charcoal, let's go. Get up, boy. Yeah. Stay right where you are, Miss Meston.
What are you doing here, Ranger? What's the matter with you?
I'll take those saddlebags.
Any log and empty them into a stream?
None that I know of.
Well, take them then, Ranger, because they're empty.
Not as empty as you wish they were. And a few grains of dirt stuck in the seam. That's all we're going to need.
Well, you can't make anything out of that.
Oh, I got a few other things. That anonymous note in Spanish matched the registration blanks you sent into El Paso. I don't think you'll be showing your horses Sunday.
Why, you...
Give me that whip.
You won't be using this again either. Now, get on your horse. Ride for the house. I'm taking her in, Mr. Meston. I got an idea you started to suspect she was lying the same time I did.
She's not lying, Ranger. She didn't know nothing about it. I did it. I shot Brady.
I'm sorry, but that won't work either. I got her pinned down all the way.
Daddy, help me talk to him. Well, give him some money. Well, what kind of a father are you if you can't help me?
Shut up!
Why, you hit me.
Yes. I should have started 20 years ago before I let you get to be what you are. Maybe I'm not legally guilty, Ranger, but I'm guilty of raising her the way I did.
Too bad you didn't think of it sooner. All right, Connie. Let's get into town.
Connie Meston's trial was spotted with hysterics that failed to convince the court, although she maintained she was innocent in the face of overwhelming evidence against her. Then, as the trial neared a close, she changed her plea to guilty, and in an effort to avoid a death sentence, she confessed. She was sentenced to the women's prison at Huntsville for 50 years.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned To Yesterday from September 5th, 1950 on NBC. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now for a broadcast that was written and directed by, at that time, the director and occasional writer of the suspense series on CBS, William N. Robeson. One of radio's legendary directors also worked on this series for a short time. It's Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. The CBS broadcast from the 2nd of March, 1958, called Tracks Out of Tombstone.
Slaughter's my name, Luke Slaughter. Cattle's my business. It's a tough business. It's big business. I got a big stake in it. And there's no man west of the Rio Grande big enough to take it from me.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone. Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, Civil War cavalryman turned Arizona cattleman. Across the territory, from Yuma to Fort Defiance, from Flagstaff to the Huachucas, and below the border through Chihuahua and Sonora, his name was respected or feared, depending on which side of the law you were on. Man of vision, man of legend, Luke Slaughter of Tombstone.
About 10 pounds of dust this last couple of weeks.
Won't be much longer, Jim. With luck, we'll be in Tombstone day after tomorrow.
Won't be none too soon for me. Once I get out of this saddle, I'm gonna stay out of it a while.
You never been to Tombstone, Jim. A couple of things you ought to know.
Such as what?
It'll be a pretty wild town. Ah, they got some peaceful, law-abiding citizens there, all right. They've also got some of the toughest drifters in the world.
Gunslingers?
Yeah. So remember, you keep that itchy trigger finger of yours under control.
Don't you worry none about me.
Hold it.
What's the matter?
A little smoke coming out of that brush over there. Jim, keep the herd headed straight. Come on, Wichita. Let's take a look.
Right. Could be a campfire.
Yeah.
This is Indian country around here, ain't it, Slaughter?
Indian country, bandit country, rustler country. You name it.
Well, as soon as we get up to the edge of the wash here, we... Yeah, there it is. Little campfire down near that clump of ocotillo.
The fire's out, but it's still smoking.
No sign of life around. You reckon...
Hold it. Movement back there in the mesquite. All right. Come on out of there. Come out.
I'm coming. Don't you shoot now.
Who are you?
My name's Ralston.
He's got a leg wound, Slaughter.
What are you doing here?
You a marshal?
No.
I got into a scrape in Tombstone. I had to get out.
With a souvenir in your leg, huh? Oh,
it's not bad, but it slows me down. My horse got away from me last night, and I couldn't catch it. I had to hold up here.
What kind of scrape were you in?
I didn't do nothing wrong, mister. I'm innocent.
I didn't ask you about that. I asked what kind of scrape.
Slaughter.
Yeah, I see him. Two of them. Rifles across their saddles.
You think this fellow was a decoy to get us into a trap?
No, no, that's not true.
Wait a minute. One of them's wearing a badge.
Yeah. I've seen him before. Taggart, sheriff from Tombstone.
All right, Ralston. Just hold it right where you are. Don't try nothing.
That bad leg of his, sheriff, I doubt he's going to try much.
With fugitives, I don't take no chances, stranger. Thanks for rounding him up for me.
He's a fugitive, huh?
He sure is. My name's Taggart. I'm the sheriff of Tombstone. It's my deputy, Blackwell. Been trailing Ralston for 2 days now.
What's the charge?
Payroll robbery.
That's a lie.
You keep your mouth shut, Ralston. Everybody in Tombstone knows you did it.
Easy, Blackwell. He ain't gonna make no trouble. We'll see to that.
Payroll robbery, you say?
Yeah, one of the mines. He was supposed to be guarding it. Instead, he took off with it.
You got any witnesses?
You got plenty of evidence.
I asked you if you had any witnesses.
What business is it of yours?
Just a minute, Blackwell. I'm talking to Taggart.
Who are you, stranger?
Luke Slaughter.
Slaughter, I heard of you. Supposed to be pretty fast with a gun, ain't you?
It's a matter of opinion.
You ask me, it's more an opinion.
I didn't ask you, Wichita. Oh. You got a warrant for Ralston's arrest, Taggart. Well?
There's no time to get a warrant.
That's funny. Last I heard, there was a judge right there in Tombstone. Wouldn't have taken you very long. How about you busting right across the border without any papers or anything?
Slaughter, you got a bad habit of being insulting. That's a habit I'm going to break.
Now?
Let's take him, Taggart.
Can you take both of us, Blackwell?
We got the drop on you, Slaughter.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, too, Taggart.
Meaning what?
Those rifles of yours are pretty clumsy at close quarters. I don't think you got the drop on me at all. Let's find out.
I'm here to take my prisoner back to Tombstone.
Not without a warrant.
Well, now, you ain't going to...
Don't move that rifle unless you're going to use it.
You got a herd out there, Slaughter. You heading for Tombstone?
That's right.
And I'll see you in Tombstone.
It's fine with me.
Come on, Blackwell.
Thanks, Slaughter. Thanks a lot.
Get Ralston up behind you, Wichita. Let's get back to the herd. By sunset, 2 days later, we were in Tombstone. We herded the cattle into the pens. Then we went to the Crystal Palace to collect our money from the cattle buyer, Ezra Canfield.
Well, I've checked them cattle over, Slaughter. They's in good condition, considering the distance you brought them. Here's your money.
Count it, Wichita.
Right.
What are your plans now, Slaughter?
Heading right back to Mexico. Pick up another herd.
Good. We got a lot of hungry miners here in Tombstone. Need all the beef we can get.
Now, don't tell me we gotta leave right away, Slaughter. I want to see the sights around here.
Tombstone's not a very good town for you to be wandering around loose in, Jim.
I promise you I won't get in no trouble, Slaughter. I just want to do a little living for a change.
Money's all here.
All right. Jim, take it back to the hotel room. Sit on it.
But what about seeing the sights?
We'll talk about that later. I'll get moving.
All right, doggone it.
Sounds like you sure spoiled his evening, Slaughter.
Well, I think we can arrange for him to get a couple of breaths of night air around here before we take off.
Taggart just come in.
I see him.
Well, Canfield, look like you ain't too particular who you do business with.
There's nothing wrong with them cattle he sold me, Sheriff. I checked them myself.
That ain't what I meant. I'm talking about Slaughter here obstructing justice, refusing to turn over a fugitive to me. Where are you hiding Ralston now, Slaughter?
You ought to know. You're the sheriff.
What's that signify?
I had a little talk with Ralston on the trail. All he wanted was to be sure of getting back here in one piece to stand a fair trial. Turned himself into your night guard at the jail.
You're bluffing.
Well, that'll be an easy bluff to call. Why don't you go find out?
I aim to.
He's a pretty poor excuse for a sheriff, Slaughter. But he's all we got.
Well, what do you expect? Who'd want the job? Tombstone's a rough town.
Not too rough for the right man. I think you could be the right man, Slaughter.
Me?
Yeah. There are a lot of us around here who'd like to see law and order established once and for all, Slaughter. And we know about you. Know you can handle the worst of them.
You know, that might not be such a bad idea, if you ask me.
Nobody did, Wichita. Oh. I'm sorry, Canfield. My business is cattle, not law enforcement.
In Tombstone, law enforcement's everybody's business. Think it over, Slaughter.
If you was to take the job, Slaughter, I'll bet Jim would be glad to be your deputy.
Yeah, that's all I'd need around here. He'd probably start more fights than he'd stop. Come on.
Slaughter, I wonder about you sometimes. I wonder if you wasn't already a lawman once.
I wonder about you too, Wichita. I wonder if you were born with that big nose of yours, or did you grow it later?
Had it as long as I can remember. But hey, it's raining. I didn't know it ever rained in Tombstone.
It isn't very heavy. Won't last long.
Slaughter.
What is it, Taggart?
What kind of play is this?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ralston is what I'm talking about.
I told you. Ralston turned himself in.
Yeah, well, he ain't in the jail now. That cell door is wide open.
What?
And what's more, my night guard's been pistol-whooped. Looked like Ralston had a friend helped him to break out. You wouldn't know who that'd be, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
Hey, Sheriff. A horse has been stolen from Wilkie's livery stable. That's proudly how Ralston made his getaway.
Looks like I got you to thank for this, Slaughter.
Think so?
Yeah. If I handled things my own way, this wouldn't have happened. Next time you cross me is going to be the last time.
Don't be too sure of that, Taggart.
You know, Slaughter, you got a natural talent for making enemies.
A man like Taggart, it isn't hard. Come on, let's get back to the hotel.
I still don't get it, Slaughter. Why would Ralston have gave himself up and then busted out of jail?
Some men you never know about till they make a move. Ralston didn't do it alone. He had to have a friend.
Maybe his friend convinced him he wouldn't get a fair trial.
Maybe.
Anyway, he... Slaughter, look, Jim, on the floor.
He's been slugged. He's out cold.
Wait a minute. The cattle money.
Yeah. It's gone. Jim, come on, boy.
Wow.
That's it, boy. Come on, come out of it.
You all right, Jim?
Oh, I guess so.
What happened, Jim?
I don't rightly know, Slaughter. I heard a noise. It sounded like it come from outside the window on the balcony.
Yeah?
I went over and stuck my head out to look. Something awful hard hit me on the side of the head. I went down. And then somebody climbed through the window into the room. I tried to get to my feet and he hit me again. That's the last I remember.
You get a good look at him, Jim?
No, his hat was pulled down low and he had a bandana over his face.
Was it Ralston?
I don't know. He took the cattle money, didn't he?
Yeah.
Fine guard I turned out to be.
Yeah, it's too late to worry about that. Just be glad you have a hard head.
Slaughter.
Yeah.
It was Ralston.
How do you figure?
Remember that ring he wore? Mexican work, looked like?
What about it?
Had a green stone set in it, carved like a snake's head.
Yeah, I remember.
Here it is. I found it on the floor. Must have been jarred loose when he slugged Jim.
It's a stone, all right. Well, looks like Taggart was right after all.
Well, well. So you finally wised up to Ralston, huh, Slaughter? Too late, of course.
Maybe not, Taggart. Wichita.
Yeah?
You got the grub ready?
Packed in the saddlebags.
Maybe next time you won't interfere when I'm trying to enforce the law.
How about the bedrolls, Wichita?
All ready.
You're going after him, huh?
What do you think?
I think there's a couple of things wrong with that idea.
Like what?
In the first place, you got a poor chance of finding his trail at night in the rain.
Rain's letting up. It'll stop soon. I want to be ready to start trailing as soon as it's light.
The second thing is wrong. Law enforcement is my business, Slaughter, not yours.
That's my money he got away with.
Yeah, but there's still a matter of that mine payroll he's got stashed away somewhere. Look, it's Slaughter. Ain't no sense our being at each other's throats all the time. You crossed me once, it riled me, but I'm willing to let it pass. I figure everybody's entitled to one mistake.
Depends on what the mistake is, doesn't it?
The point is, we both want Ralston. Now, the smart thing to do is for us to trail him together. Me and Blackwell, you and Wichita. How about it?
All right, Taggart.
Good. Good. I'll get word to Blackwell right away. He's on his ranch out of town a ways, up near Crocker Mesa.
Well, he ain't a full-time deputy, huh?
This town can't afford one. I'll send word to him to meet us in the morning.
We'll be ready at sunup. That's keeping Blackwell, Taggart.
Oh, he'll be along any minute, Slaughter.
It's been an hour since the rain stopped. We're wasting time. That trail's going to get cold on us, even if we manage to pick it up in first place. And that ain't going to be easy.
Easier than you think, baby.
What do you mean, Taggart?
I had a talk with Wilkie down the stable last night. That stolen horse had thrown a shoe off of his left hind hoof. Wilkie didn't have a chance to put a new one on.
That'll help some.
Oh, here's Blackwell.
Sorry I'm late, gents. Busted the cinch strap saddling up and had to rig a new one.
No harm, Blackwell. 10 minutes isn't going to make much difference one way or another.
Does to me.
All right, gentle down, Slaughter. Now, I figure Ralston headed south, out of town towards the border. We'll cover that area first. Let's get moving, gents.
Looks like that was a bum hunch of yours about Ralston headed for the border, Taggart. We've covered every trail leading south out of Tombstone.
Well, like I say, Slaughter, everybody's entitled to one mistake. Gotta admit, it was logical to reckon he'd be headed straight south.
We covered most of the country west of town, too.
Well, we'd just keep circling. Maybe he took off to the north.
Hold up.
Hold up.
What is it?
Over there.
Tracks.
I'll take a closer look.
What about it, Blackwell?
Yeah? This is the one we're looking for, all right. No shoe on the left hind hoof.
Heading straight west.
Yeah.
for the San Pedro River.
Let's move. The tracks lead right into the river.
Yeah, it's an old trick, but it still works. Probably rode up a downstream a ways, then out on the other side. This trail's gonna be tough to find again over there. That's pretty rocky ground.
So I see.
When we do pick it up again, I'll bet it turns south. I still think he's heading for the border.
Let's cross and split up. Two upstream, two downstream.
Right. Yeah. Whoever picks that trail on the other side fired two shots.
Right.
Dang, if I can figure a fellow like Rolston out, Slaughter, I sure never figured he'd take this way of paying you back for everything you done for him.
Hold it here, Wichita.
What's the matter?
Let Taggart and Blackwell get out of sight around that bend. Now let's get back to the riverbank.
I don't get it, Slaughter.
We're not going to look for tracks on the other side of the river. We're going to look for them on this side.
I still don't know what you...
Get off your horse. Now take a look. A close look at those tracks we've been trailing, Wichita. Well?
There's a little dry dirt in the bottom of each one.
Yeah. It was raining last night when Ralston's supposed to have stolen our money and the horse and made his getaway.
Yeah, rain stopped about an hour before sunup.
And these tracks were made after it stopped raining. That's why you see dry dirt where the hooves cut through the wet.
Wait a minute. You mean somebody rigged this trail to lead us on a wild goose chase?
That's just what we're going to find out. We worked our way along the riverbank. Half a mile upstream, we picked up the tracks coming back out of the river and circling. We followed them, headed northwest. 20 minutes later, we came over a rise and spotted a small ranch house in the hollow below. The only sign of life was a few buzzards clustered on a mound in a little gully behind the ranch. We left our horses concealed and worked our way down the slope under cover. Buzzards reluctantly took flight. We saw what had been buried in the mound, or what was left of it.
Ralston's body.
Yeah. Whoever stole our cattle money busted Ralston out of jail, forced him out here, and killed him.
Yeah. Question is, who done it? Whose ranch is this?
See over there to the right? That's Crocker's Mesa.
Crocker's Mesa? Taggart said Blackwell had a ranch near Crocker's Mesa, so Blackwell's our man.
Looks like it.
We better get back to that ranch house before Blackwell gets back.
Might be too late. If they figure we tumbled to the fake trail, they could circle back here to the ranch ahead of us.
They? You mean Taggart, too?
We'll soon find out. Keep down as much as you can. We'll circle around the corral.
There's Taggart on the porch with a rifle.
Get down. That answer your question about Taggart?
Sure does.
No doubt about it. They're in it together.
There he goes, inside the house.
We gotta bust him out of that house somehow. Wait a minute. That wagon there beside the corral.
Yeah.
When I get the word, we'll head for it. Get behind it.
Yeah, all right.
Now.
Well, what now?
The ground slopes down to the house from here. Let's get this wagon moving. It'll cover us. Now, shout. Stay close behind it. Be ready to shoot when it hits.
She's heading right for the house.
Stay low.
Yeah, sure will. There she goes.
Come on, fast.
Yeah, there's Blackwell at the window.
I'll get him.
Oh!
Hold it, Taggart. Drop your gun. Drop it.
All right, Slaughter. All right.
Don't try it. Hey!
My, he took a little convincing.
Where's the money, Blackwell? Where is it?
Under a loose board in the floor.
Loose board? I got it. Yeah. Here's our cattle money, all right. And the mine payroll.
I guess that's that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Slaughter, appears to me you was taking quite a chance. Just winging Blackwell and knocking out Taggart instead of gunning him down. You don't owe them no favors.
I wasn't doing him any favor, Wichita. I was just saving him.
Saving him? For what?
The citizens of Tombstone.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, starring Sam Buffington. Written by Robert Stanley with editorial supervision by Tom Hanley and directed by William N. Robeson. Supporting Mr. Buffington were Junius Matthews, Sam Edwards, Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, Jack Moyles, and Frank Gerstel. Next week at this time, we return with...
Slaughter's the name. Luke Slaughter. When we meet up again, you can call me that. Luke Slaughter.
Special score for Luke Slaughter was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Stay tuned now for Frontier Gentlemen, following immediately on most of these same stations of the CBS Radio Network.
Luke Slaughter of Tombstone, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 2nd, 1958 on CBS. Bringing the curtain down on this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.